This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We're having a special service today, and we're going to have a bit of a panel discussion. We're going to talk about relationships. We're busy with a series about companionship, kameraadskap, and that life indeed is better together. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I know that for the first 2 weeks, we focus a lot on marriage specifically, and there's a reason culturally why we have to focus once a year on marriages. So if today you found yourself not being married, then that's something I can help you with. I have a register. It's something I can facilitate. We can book a day. If you don't have someone, if you don't have a bride, one can be provided for you. It's one of those services. It's a grappie. And even in making these jokes, the reason why I do it is because I know that when we talk about marriage, and maybe you had a good marriage, or maybe you've always wanted a good marriage, there is a sting to it. So I just want to say that we are aware. We are aware that loneliness is a real factor. And we'd love to facilitate and to pray with you and do more than that. But today specifically, I'd just like us to just have a space to just all of us just imagine what God intended for marriage and the gift that it is to society, not just to the couple that receive it. So if in your heart of heart you can wait a week or two until we speak about companionship and friendship and other aspects of that, I want to ask a little bit of grace for that. And Shane and Roselle and Julie and Maynard and Derek and Anneet, jylle kan welkom jylle plekke in te neem. Ons gaan hier voor sit en bykie met jylle gesels. One or two of these people said that they're afraid they're going to sit down in a bar stool and then flash back to a few years ago and light a cigarette or put down the gun, something, you know, fall back. No, but just, so Derek and Annette, I think we've met you a little bit, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your family? And then what do you enjoy most about being connected?
So we've been married now for 10 years on the 1st of May this year. We have three kids aged 7, 6, and then a 3-year-old girl who basically rules the roost. One thing about being connected is definitely for me to have some type of moral and common sense compass in the way that I would bounce ideas of my wife before I implement. And then a general rule would be that I have to say sorry a whole lot less once I do that. So it's just someone that gets me, that understands the situation, and I can actually just, before I implement something, I just check it with her, and in general that works well.
Yes. So when Ross asked us a question, we had like lots of, oh, we could tell this, and we're just praying and hoping today that we're actually sharing something that's really like God's heart. When we spoke about being connected and what do we do to stay connected in our lives with three kids and being busy already, we just realized that we've learned the ability to nurture our special language that we share. And I think when you become attracted to someone, there's something that you guys share, you connect on a certain level, that, and you form actually a type of language that is exclusive between you and them. And it's a gift, I believe, and it's something that a lot of times dies as life gets busy. And it's actually, you have to learn how to keep that language alive between the two of you. So, yeah.
Cool. So, my name is Shane, and this is Roselle. And and we have two kids. We'd like three kids. I'll tell you about that.
Congratulations,
eh?
Roselle. We didn't know.
We have two kids. One's 10 and little girl who's 4. Is it prophetic? I don't know. What have we been doing? Yeah, and I think the thing that we love most about marriage, do you want to tell them?
Besides making babies, it would be something that we call intellectual intercourse. So just the fact that we can speak to each other is, I think, the thing that we enjoy the most.
Fantastic. It's like a buyer.
Shane, just to share with you, yesterday morning I introduced myself on my maiden name, so you so it still happens, but you know it's okay. I don't feel disconnected with Maynard because I introduced myself on my maiden name, but I was so shocked with myself. But anyway, yes, Maynard and I have been married for 32 years, and we have three kids. Our eldest child, son, I don't want to say child, he's not a child anymore, Orchid is 30. And I just also want to say we got married in our 30s. Now, in those days, it was late. We got married late. Most of our friends have been married for 40 years plus now, so, and we've been married for 32 years. But yes, and so we've got, Okut is our son, he's married to Utami and they live in Joburg, and we've got a daughter, Ria, who's a OT, and she's in, at the moment, in Nelspruit, but she's moving to Pretoria now, and she's 29. And then we have a lot, Lamiki, which I had when, which was born when I was 43, which was a great shock. But around that, there's a great testimony. But that's a story for another day. And yes, that's our family. And Susan is second year at varsity now. She took a gap year and she's second year at varsity now. I think the thing that, Maynard will say later, what to me is very valuable about being married for 32 years is the fact that it's a safe space. I learned that from Tim Keller, used the word, and when I read it for the first time, I thought, oh, that I like. But marriage is a safe place. I can be Julie, and Maynard's okay with that. Whether I'm in a very high or a very low, I can speak my heart, and I always know that he will receive what I give him. So that to me is so good to know, that I'm always safe with Maynard. Now, I want to say, and he'll say a little bit about that, it wasn't always like that.
No, I'm not so okay with a maiden name. I think last Sunday, Russ, you mentioned that one gets married to have a companion. And I think that's how it started out and still is in our marriage. I knew Julie before I got saved. In fact, she led me to the Lord. We had a time where we were connected, well connected. Maybe I must first say that we share life together. That's what we really enjoy doing. We both like the outdoors. We have hobbies that we share together. We have hobbies that we don't share together. But we enjoy going into Africa. We enjoy the outdoors, bird watching. We enjoy, she's learned to enjoy trees, which is my hobby. But those are not things that keep you connected. Not specifically or per se. There was a time in our marriage where we definitely were not well connected, the first half of our marriage, in fact. But we'll probably get to that just now. So let's leave it there for the moment.
So Maynard Augustine and Julie de Klerk, bye bye, dankie. Thank you so much. And Shane, I never knew about your third child on the way. That's amazing. We should do this more often. We should do this more often. It's like... So just for those who missed it last week, or just to recap, so marriage is a covenant of companionship. And when God said everything that he created was perfect, except this one thing that isn't perfect, it's the fact that man does not have a companion, a helper, someone to help him out of his loneliness. And that defines marriage in a great sense. It's a covenant, a promise that I will never, ever let you walk alone again. But we know that it's possible to be married, even for seasons, or maybe for the first half of our marriage, to be married but not be connected. So just because we have a ring doesn't mean that we are connected in heart. It creates a safe space for that, So today, I just have one question that I'm going to ask all three of these couples. And this is the question, you know, you've been married 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. So ek moes my ouers gevra het, want hulle is hier so in die huis, maar Desmee en pa Johan, julle is 40 jaar getroud, julle kon hier langs aan wees. How do you stay connected? What have you learned through the Lord and in community? What have you learned about staying connected? And the verse that I just want to show you, two slides on, is from Ephesians. And it's amazing. The verse after that, verse 4 and 5 says, we have one Lord, one God, one baptism, one hope, one faith. So it says that we are truly one. But just before that, he says, earnestly strive, try your best to keep your hearts united. And that's sort of the dilemma that we're going to discuss today. God has made us one. How do we stay connected? What have you learned about staying connected? And we'll give a few minutes to everyone just to share what have you learned about staying connected in crazy seasons.
Okay, so crazy seasons come and go, but they mostly stay. But what Annette briefly mentioned is that we want to keep in place the original thing that drew us together. And it's you get opportunities to grow, of course, in different areas of your life, but not to let that small thing die. So for us, it's fun and humor, and actually the sixth love language called pranks. So we would prank each other. And I, when we were praise and worship, I thought about a recent one where I heard mumbling coming down the stairs, so three kids and her, and they all had, well, the kids had shaving cream in both hands, and they were on their way to me. I was where any good king of his castle should be, on his throne. So I have nowhere to go. And they start putting shaving cream all over my face, loving it, and Annette probably laughing most of all. Yeah, so it would be that thing that you kind of just keep alive, and the creativity that comes from it in spending just a little bit of time standing still, like what getting to the headspace of your spouse. What is that one thing that Annette now would really enjoy and find funny? And what I've learned is it's not just letting go of social media, TV, or whatever. It's also then, once you've let go, to also then to be intentionally try to connect and stay connected. It needs to be both of those.
Yeah, I think in a sense, it's difficult sometimes when we tell people this is our love language and this is one of the biggest things that keep us connected. They're like, yeah, but we're not creative and we're not that funny, wada wada, that won't work for us. But I think the bottom line is you do have something. Every couple have their own language, their own thing that makes them click, that makes them tick. And you can get into your spouse's tick box or your maatjie se goeders wat vir hulle flippin lekker is. Jy kan maklik daar inklim en opportunities in die dag net soek om daai dingetjie net te ignite. Dit kan regtig eenvoudige goed wees. Een keer het ek en Derek Adams gery en ons het 'n Alanis Morissette liedjie van Got My One in My Pocket and the Other One's Sending a Peace Sign. Jy ken al liedjie? Bonnie and Clyde's, niemand. Okay, dankie. Maar dan sal ek om byvoorbeeld langs mekaar ergens af en ek ry weg. En dan sit net daai opportunity to ignite that, daai lekker gevoel wat julle nou 3-4 weke terug gehad het toe julle in die kar die liedjie gejam het, dan wys ek die peace sign. En dan weet ek reference terug na daai oomblik toe. En is net connecting it again, op 'n klein ligte manier. Derek het al ekstreem goeders gedoen, hy het my letterlik al op Instagram gestalk. Hy het 'n fake Instagram handle gemaak met iemand anders as 'n naam, weird fotootjies gepost. En ek het agtergekom, ek het hierdie follower wat die hele tyd comment op alles. En na 2 maande van geïrriteerd wees met wie ook al hierdie follower is, kyk ek eendag oordenklik na die profile en ek kom agter, maar hulle follow al die mense wat ek follow. En hulle foto's is soos heavy dieselfde as goeders wat ons bespreek. En ek is so uitgefriek. Ek verloor dit daai aand en hy sit hom met sulke breë bakkies en hy sê ha ha Got you. Want ek weet, dis die type ding wat my malatiek. Ek love a slim prank. Verstaan, dit is just brilliant. Vir 2 maande lank het hy dit ingehou. En ek waardeer dit so, want hy hoef dit nie te gedoen het nie. Verstaan jy? En ek denk, dit is die essence van het, is om te denk, wat is die ding, wat jy nie hoef te doen nie, maar wat in die extra glimlach, die extra connectedness op jou maaikiese gesig gaan sit, in tye wat jy dit rarig nodig het, en ek denk my ander voorbeeld is ook so of een bietjie dieper ene, so paar maande, ach nie paar maande, paar jare terug, het baie rof met my gegaan, was emotioneel baie op een laagtepunt, en is een van die dae wat, die kinders is klein, dis te veel, alles is te veel, daddy kom by die huis, en ek is eindelijk denk bezig om hulle te gebad het, en ek het letterlik dit verloor, en soveel so dat ek begin skree het, en ek as een reel skree ek nie op die kinders of op my man nie, maar die dag het ek, en so intens dat my een sienkie het begin ook aan die huil raak, want hy ken hierdie wille mama wat nou so te kere gaan nie, en Derek het my net so gekyk, en hy het my gesê, Annette, gaan stap, kom in die huis uit, gaan stap, en ek so opgewerk en emotioneel, en ek wil nog eindelijk nog omskree op die vader, dat hy vir my sê, ek moet gaan stap, en die klein stemmiekie in my sê, gat, vir die pad, en ek het gestap, ek denk ek het na een park toe gestap, en ek het letterlijk in 'n boom gaan klim, en ek het in die boom gesit, totdat het baie donker is, en uitgeklim, en al die shame gevoelens, van die skuldgevoelens, van hoe ek nou my kinders verskreer het, al die reels wat jy nie mag doen nie, het ek nou verbreek, en ek is terrible, en dan is nog hier emotionele issues wat ek het, en wara, en nou weet ek, gaan ek in die huis instap, en dan moet ek het alles face, en is net aaklag. Mens, my wil mis nie eindelijk, you don't want to face the music ever. En ek stap so daarin, en daar sit my man in die hoek. En ek is vol van shame, ek voel terrible. En hier tackle hy my, en hy begin my te kielie. Onbeheerst. En het is amazing hoe hy kon daar gesit het, en hy kon vir my gesê het, hoe durf jy voor die kinders skree, weet jy, ontsteld was hulle, ek het so gesikkel om hulle nou in die bed te sit, nadat jy op hulle geskree het, en nee, ons doen dit nie, ons het gesê, ons gaan dit nie doen nie, hy kon alweer goed vir my gesê het. But the grace that he showed me, and of the benefit of the doubt that he showed me in that moment, en die feit dat hy daar opportunity raak gesien het, om 'n kreatiewe ding eerder te doen, en het lig my lig te hanteer, en gracious te hanteer, is basis die scripture. Hy was gentle met my, en hy was humble met my, en hy het iets wat ek het nog slechter oor sou gevoel het, as hy my gaan uitskel het, of my nou reg probeer korrigeer het in dit, het hy lig hanteer, en dit het my soveel liefde en soveel grace gegee, dat ek net nog veiliger by hom gevoel het, dat het net vir my nog makkeliker was, om vulnerable voor hom te wees, en met hom eindelijk te kan deel wat in my hart aangaan. So, al is het lig en oppervlakkig, bou dit so die fundament vir die diep oomblikke, vir die intense oomblikke, wat jy rarig die safe space, soos wat Julie van praat, nodig het, om die dieper plek in te gaan.
Baie dankie, Annette en Derek, thank you so much. I think, just if we can have the next slide, just as an image, just to sort of see where we're going towards. Shane, Rizal, what have you learned from God about staying connected in tough seasons?
Yes, I think I like what Ross said in the room at the back there. He said, we choose just to stay as naked as possible for as long as possible. and that really actually just links to a scripture that we got when we first were married, and that was that it says that Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they were naked together, and they were not ashamed. And so there's something about, I think, being able to be vulnerable and being able to bring your heart and be honest about what's really actually going on for you in those moments. There's something magical that starts to happen. And we didn't get a TV, I suppose, was one of the things that, you know, the 1 year turned into almost 20 years now. But I think the thing for me was we hit like a serious low, as all marriages do, where one day we were sitting on the couch and we kind of looked at each other and we had this sort of, oh my goodness, we've really been disconnected for quite a long time, actually. maybe we weren't talking. I'm not sure what informed that. But I remember sitting there thinking to myself, oh my goodness, this is like my worst nightmare starting to come true, because, you know, Rizal will tell her side of it, but she was making, said, "Sommetjies begin maak, can she make it on her own without me?" And I obviously felt like I'd completely failed. As a man, I'd failed to do whatever it was that I'd promised to do. I just didn't get it right. And I remember in that moment crying out to Jesus, just subtly under my voice, thinking, "Dear God, if there's ever a moment that you need to show up, now's a really good time, because this is on its way out." And I remember being quite surprised by what I heard him say, and he said, "Well, just hold it." I was like, "What do you mean, just hold it?" I mean, anyway, so we kind of said, okay, so, you know, normally we'd run out in the world. What you do in those times is you run out and you go get a divorce, because, I mean, that's where it's at. And I said to her, "Well, sweetie, maybe what we'll just try and do is we're just going to try and hold it. We're just going to try and hold this discomfort and just be in the space and not have to fix it. We're just going to be here right now." And then it was shortly after that we discovered Hold Me Tight and just sort of reestablishing the connection. Mm.
So I think Shane and I have always had a, after that, I'm not sure, good relationship. But if you'd ask us, do we have a good relationship, I think we would have said yes. But I think those times that we're, and I'm sure all of you have been married, have found yourselves in those times where you just look at each other and you feel that disconnection. I think sometimes we so often make judgments on those things, but if we can just be in that place without the judgment, you know, if I'm feeling like this, it doesn't mean maybe he hasn't bought me flowers, or he hasn't done this, or it doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. It just means he didn't buy me flowers. You know, but we make all these assumptions and all these things about what he did or didn't do, which isn't necessarily true. So I think that's one of the things that we learned. We were quite, when we first got married, we were like, we're not going to be one of those statistics, and we're going to like protect our marriage. So, you know, come what may, we're going to make 20 years, you know. So we went into marriage, we're making 20 years, yay. So we went into marriage and we were like, because we just love talking and we have so many of the shared values and things, we kind of went into marriage, as certainly I did, with this whole opposite attract thing is the biggest load of nonsense I'd ever heard. I mean, because we just the same, you know, we're like in sync. And then we kind of got married and it was like this, I don't know, this realization of reality hit me. And I thought, oh God, I'm not going to make 20 years with this man. So, and divorce isn't an option because I'm a good Christian person. So, God, you're going to have to take him out. And, because I can't deal with this man. So it was really, really hard for me.
I was saying, dear God, this is so bad, I'll even go. I'll volunteer to go.
You know, and people say to you, how's married life? And you're thinking, I'm an honest, good Christian person and I can't lie. So the best thing I could say was, it's an adjustment. It was really an adjustment.
And we're still adjusting after 20 years.
But I think Shane said that scripture, be naked and not ashamed, was a big thing for us. So not just the physically, let's be naked and not ashamed, but just how can we bring our hearts, you know? And we decided that we were going to be vigilant over our marriage and that we would be honest. And not honest in the brutal sense, but honest in the protective sense, that we could bring our hearts. We could even bring our, so when we first got married, we were like, okay, if we feel attracted to somebody, we had these like sign, these languages, we had these like, how many times you push the leg too much, then it means we need to go now. Or, you know, if you press once, it's like, let's wrap this up, you know, and then you're like, squeeze it, you know, and then it's like, okay. So you can still see we do the thing on the lee still. So I can tell you some funny stories about that, but we worked out this thing about, I had an aunt who got to the 20 years and her husband had an affair, and I was probably little at the time. And it was such a devastation for me, because we'd go every year to this couple, we'd go and visit them, and they had a family of five. So it was just this amazing, like, experience every year going to visit them. And then this one year, she phoned and said that they're getting a divorce. So I was very vigilant that I didn't want to get to, well, if I did get to 20 years, I didn't want to get to 20 years and have a divorce, and certainly not over an affair. And so we worked out the system that we would say, if I'm attracted if I find somebody attractive, this was our languaging, then it was okay. Because you can find people pretty and beautiful, it's not a problem. But if you find somebody, if you find somebody, have an attraction with somebody, then there should be a little orange flag going up. And then if you're attracted, that's like past tense, or dan is je rooi vlaggie star, you know. And we got a bit confused because like, I find this attracted, oh, you don't know what's going on. I think after 20 years, we've now got it. But we made a commitment to each other that we would say it. And not because, you know, so let me tell you a story. So we were fairly newly married, 3 years down the line, and we were going through a very tough time. We were eating lentils, literally eating lentils.
Financially,
it was really tough. And I ended up having a job where I was doing some work for the church, and one of Shane's best friends was a pastor. He was a pastor there, a leader in leadership or whatever. And I was working with him, and it was so much fun. And we were laughing and joking and whatever else. And it was just like, it was just a wonderful day and being very productive as well. And I kind of went to to get some tea, and I kind of sat there, and I thought, the thought came into my mind, yo, he's a nice guy. That was the only thought I had. And then I was like, how can I think he's a nice guy? You know, like, oh, and then it was like, oh Lord, he's a nice guy. Okay, oh, you know, and I had such, no one can relate to that, but I had such anxiety around, I thought this guy is a nice guy, you know, and I was like, oh, now what do I do with this, you know? And I thought, okay, I'm going to forget about it. And I just knew that if I forgot about it, that the enemy would ride me like Zorro. And I knew that I could not forget about this. All I was thinking is he's a nice guy. So now I'm going to go and tell Shane, I thought Brett is a nice guy, you know. But being able to be honest in that way was amazing. Because Shane was like, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, but it was just diffusing it and being able to go, oh, so do you feel attractive? No, well, I don't feel attracted. He's a nice guy, you know, and being able to have that honesty has really helped our relationship a lot. Do we still have more time? Ons kan baie praat.
We'll see what Maynard does.
I think Maynard and I come from very much the same background, but also very different. And so we came into marriage with certain expectations, and we were heavily surprised. But that's not what I want to say, but that's just sort of the background. When we were married for 5 years, one day I read the scripture of 1 Corinthians 13. And we all know 1 Corinthians 13. You must love, and you're looking at Amal, you wouldn't have seen it. And then I got to the scripture of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, which says, love is kind. And ja, ek is kind met julle almal. And the question came to me, and I knew that was what God prompted in my heart at that stage, is, are you friendly with Maynard? Are you kind to Maynard? And ek was so geskok, want ek kon nie sê, ja, ek is vriendelik met Maynard. Because at that stage, I was really thinking, he wants to play me down in every situation where he can. Why I thought that, I don't know. I don't know where it came from, but that's not important. But the fact is, I realized I'm not kind with my husband. I'm not patient with my husband, and so I can go on. And I just, that was a prayer of my heart. And I just said, Lord, teach me to be kind to Maynard. And that just brought that was a defining moment in our relationship, because the Lord told me, you must be kind with your husband. And I wasn't. And obviously, out of that flows a lot of other stuff. And a little while after that came, I read the story of Sarah in 1 Peter 3 that says, Sarah honored Abram in what she did and how she reacted towards what he did and that. And I thought, this woman just drives me crazy. How can she, if he says she's not married to him, still honor him? But the fact is she did, and God honored that. And then I realized, do I honor Maynard? Do I honor him as my husband? Do I honor him in the job he does, or is I criticizing his job? Do I honor him as the father of our children? Am I really honoring him? And I realized I had to repent and say, Lord, I'm not honoring Maynard for the man you made him. And those two things, being kind and being and honoring Maynard for the man God made him and our relationship and everything around that, just brought in a new connection between us because my heart changed. Nothing in Maynard changed at that stage, nothing. But my heart changed, and we know what the first verse in 1 Peter 3 says, that if just by what you do and the way you live, you can, your husband's heart can change. So in that respect, we're definitely better connected. And in that stage, there just started a growth in our relationship, not because Maynard changed, which I wanted at that stage very dearly, but God changed my heart, and that just brought a new connection. And from that point on, just brought growth in our relationship. And I was more open because I was more friendly, I was more kind, I was more patient, I was honoring Maynard for who he was. I was more open to receive. I was more open to receive from God. I was more open to receive from Maynard, and just not always wanted it my way. And, I suppose you'll say the rest.
I'm glad marriage is a growth process. En dat ons anders is, Derek en Anna, het, julle te anders te huwelik as ons. weet jy of ons al ooit 'n prank gehad het?
Julle moet net onthou, ek is met 'n ingenieur getroud. Dit sê alles.
Mr. Serious, en ek het my lysie met al my tikboksies hier. Ek dink so. Ja, ek dink om connected te bly, my love language is serving, service. Dit beteken, as my vrou my serve, dan is ek happy. soos wat julle love language is, dalk iets anders is. As jou love language iets is, dan is dit geneig, dan het jy die geneigtheid om dit te wil doen. So ek wil ook my vrou dien. So ek dink dit maak dit ook makliker. Sy is my helper, sy besef dit, so sy dien my, en ek dien maklik as wat ek ander goed dalk doen. So ek dink dit help baie, maar ek het nou gesê, die eerste klompe jare van ons huwelik was nie well connected nie. You're not well connected because you're in love or you're infatuated. You're not well connected because you have things that you do together. Those things tend to run out at some stage. En ons huwelik, dink ek, was maar op 'n afdraande pad, in 'n sekere sin. En soos julle nou gehoor het, sy wou my verander. Ek wou nie verander nie. Ek het nie besef dat ek moet verander nie. I was the typical passive South African male. In fact, worldwide male. And that's as a result of the fall. I did not take my responsibility as a husband. I was passive. I did not lead my wife. Also, I had 40 or 45 years of modeling, which was the contrary to that. So I had to change something drastic, and I just believe the Lord brought about that change in my life with a lot of prompting from my wife. She mentioned a lot of things for the first number of years, and then she took a back seat. Want 'n vrou is geneig om te wil oorvat as 'n man passief is. And she realized that she had to take a back seat. And fortunately, the Lord actually prompted me to take up my responsibility. And I think in the last number of years, that has certainly helped our marriage. It's helped me particularly working through conflicts. Dis nog steeds vir my moeilik. Ek hou nie van konflik nie. Ek weet ons moet deur konflik werk. En as jy deur konflik werk, then you get out the other side a stronger couple. If you don't, it just leads to more issues. Because at some stage, the bubble will burst, and then everything just gets laid out on the floor. And it doesn't get resolved. So ja, ek dink ons ons bly op klein maniere ook connected. As ek miskien dit kan noem, soggens vroeg, ek staan al voor 5:00 in die oggend op om werk toe te gaan. And we just read a portion of scripture and we just pray together, literally 5 minutes. And I believe that just starts the day on a small connection. You can do it any other time of the day. It doesn't really matter. Some guys phone their wives during the day. They have it at night. We just find that works for us. Wat is nog op my lysie, my skat? Ja, ek dink ons het al geleer om inskikkelijk te wees. Dit is vir my nice Afrikaanse woord. Nie verdraagsam, nie. Inskikkelijk. Your partner is different to you. We are definitely not the same. You might be. So, we are not. Oh, yeah. Liefde is nie 'n woord nie. As I said just now, generally gets confused with the word infatuation. Even romantic love in marriage runs out after a couple of years, and then love kicks in, if you will allow it to kick in, which means jy moet iets doen. Ja, jy moet die skorrelgoed was. Ek is al amper moeg vir skorrelgoed was. Ek doen dit nou baie minder as 'n ruk terug. So love is doing things for your wife, guys. Things you don't want to do. And I've found that I get 1 point for everything I do.
Some big ones.
No, big ones also get 1 point. So it's just something that I've got to keep working. That is my iets. Ek moet minder word en sy moet meer word.
Sorry, my not praat nou asof dit nou van verskriklik swaar is. But I just want to add on this. Maynard serving he comes alive because it's his love language, and I just enjoy seeing him serving. It might sound funny, but why I'm saying this is that I know that I've accepted that's the way he loves me and he loves the children. Is serving. So he never brings me flowers because it's not his love language. And it doesn't bother me. But we've got a beautiful garden and he does the garden. He works in the garden. And he makes us a beautiful place to live. And I know that's his love language. And that I have learned to appreciate and validate him accordingly because that's the way he serves in the family. And that's the way we stay connected. And that's what I... And that to me is romantic. So I have learned to look at his way of loving and not see my way as the only way. And that's what I appreciate. And I just want to say that, if you've noticed, we're three couples and we're all different. And I can enjoy their pranks. I mean, it's so funny. But, I mean, can you imagine this man being funny? I mean...
I can't even think of one.
But exactly that is why I appreciate him so much. He's so honest. I mean, hy is so eerlik. Ek kan nie anders as om net ontsettend lief te wees en te waardeer hierdie verskriklike eerlike mens. En ek hou ontsettend baie van hom, sommer net vir wie hy is. En ek wil baie keer wil ek my kop in 'n gat indruk, maar daarna dan waardeer ek dit so, dan denk ek, hi, jy's net jouself. Jy probeer iemand anders wees nie, and that makes me connected to him.
So thank you so much, Derek and Annette, for inspiring us. How do you stay connected? By intentionally seeking connection moments, that which works for your spouse. Intentionally seeking it. And for those married today or about to get married soon, I just want to say that is the attitude of love, an intentional connectedness. Considering how you, Hebrews says so beautiful, consider how you may stir one another to love and good works. How can I stir you? How can I connect? That's beautiful. And then thank you so much, Shane and Roselle, with your third child on the way. So amazing. No, about being naked and not ashamed. Vulnerability. and intentional, and then how God brought about, turned around your marriage because of the intentionally embracing the insecurity and about being vulnerable and staying with one another in the uncomfortable spaces. I really appreciate this. And it's something, it's a conversation that you start in honesty, to be vulnerable, to say, listen, this is how I'm feeling, to be vulnerable and bring your fears and your shame to light. Courageous in that. In Umeinart and Tani Julie, thank you so much for the wisdom. Thank you so much for showing us how do you appreciate the husband that you have, not the one that he is not, by appreciating him. And he did promise you a rose garden. It's a beautiful song. He did build you one. But just to be friendly, intentionally. And that's a question that myself and Magriet ask one another every now and then. Maybe I ask myself a little bit more. The Bible says, love your wife. And then I'm asking, in which way will Magriet be able to say that I love her? When the Bible says, wives, honor your husband. In which way does my husband know that I'm honoring him? So it's a simple, practical, getting down to practical serving one another. There's something which I want to close with, which wasn't mentioned here, but it was implied in so many things. Connection happens in humility when I start a conversation, and sometimes that conversation implies I am sorry. I confess that I have not been connected to, I have not been seeking your heart. How can I do that? How would you like me to pursue your heart? And that's a very practical thing. I'm going to close the service now, and I want an invitation. Maybe there's a last slide up there. We have many, many counselors being trained and many counselors in the church that would love to pray with couples. At one or two points in our relationship, Magriet and myself had to go to two of our friends and say, listen, we're a bit of a headlock. We want to be connected. We're connecting, but we're struggling because there's one issue in which we need your help. Will you kindly pray with us and talk with us through this? Just to sit there as a mediator, listen while we talk. We're going to be vulnerable. We trust you. Will you help us get connected in this specific area? And it really helped us a lot. We've done it twice since we married in headlock times, and it's really good. And so if you look for someone just to help you connect, if you're sitting with your spouse and you feel disconnected and you say, I'm not funny, I don't like building a garden, and I don't like being naked together. You know, how can I, can you help me? Can you help us connect? Can you help us just to get over this one specific thing? We'd love to help you facilitate that. We've got many counselors in the church who would love to do that. It's our prayer that all the marriages and all the couples in here, that you intentionally seek to connect to one another. And if I just want to say, we've been praying about this. If you feel, I don't know, we've tried this before, it hasn't worked, then I just want to give you the hope of the gospel. There was a time in which Jesus was dead, and then he resurrected from the dead. The reason why I have faith for every relationship is not because we have good counselors or anything like that, but it's because we serve the God of the impossible, the God of the resurrected, the God who said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, well, Lord, you know they can. You are the God of the resurrection, and I just want to proclaim and pray it over you. Father, we thank you for being God in every aspect of our lives, God, and today specifically in our marriages and our relationship. Thank you, God, that you're the God, Lord, in the stories of Derek and Anahet and Shannon and Roselle and Julie and Maynard, that you are the God, Lord, who is intricately woven in every aspect of our marriage, God, that you are present. And Lord, even like we prayed before and like Shade prayed before, and God, that even if a twofold cord is going to snap, a threefold cord doesn't snap, God, because you are there. Thank you that you are the God of grace, the God of the second chance, the God of the resurrection. And we pray in Jesus' name over every marriage, God, those that are going well and those that are stuck, that Lord, we pray for more. God, we pray for greater connection and greater intimacy, Lord, so that we may witness what a relationship with God can be. Thank you for entrusting us, Lord, that witnessing, that the world may know what God wants with man by looking at an intimate marriage, by looking at close companionship. In Jesus' name. And then, Father, we pray for marriages that are stuck today, those that have just been disconnected because of the crazy cycles in life. And we pray, Father, that you'll spark the flame, that you'll spark the hearts, God, to grow warm towards one another again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.